Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 130 for June 16, 2020. My name is David Cosveter, and I'm the creator of timingresearch.com, and today we will be discussing your trade ideas. So we are recording this live at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, and today I have arranged for Mike Pisani to join us. He's sharing his screen now, so you'll get to see what he looks at with his trading every day. And Jim, the option professor, is back to moderate, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Jim.
Okay. All right, everybody. Another big day today. Really big up move and then a little bit of a fade at the close. Mike has a couple of stocks he's been watching that he's going to talk about a little later, but we're going to get into your list as soon as we finish the introductions. Mike Pisani, a little introduction on yourself and what you're doing at the company.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for having me back, and you as well, David. So my name is Mike Pisani. I've been trading since 2008. I have a small company called SmartOptionTrading.com. And what we do here is we have a live chat room with private Twitter alerts, and we trade option flow news and technicals. And every day we look for the setups. We look for names that are in play based upon, you know, upgrades, downgrades, earnings, whatever news of the night. And then we use technical setups and options to help us give us even another reason to get into it. And if you're interested, just check me out at smartoptiontrading.com. Love to have you on board.
Yeah, the Nigerian brothers are real big on watching that inordinate activity of options. Isn't that one of their claim to fame?
They are. We look at things a little differently. We don't look for those big buys, really. We look for where they're playing, where they're coming in over and over again. Momentum type flow into names.
Right, not just a one-time event.
Yep, so where they come in and they keep, like, you know, today Roku, all afternoon long, they've been piling on calls, anywhere from the weekly 120s all the way out to the July 240s.
And that would indicate a lot more than if it was just a one-time event where the guy might be hedging or doing something for something specific, right?
Correct. Yeah. What it really shows is the name has momentum, it has volume, it's showing that it's in play and that they're still, they're trying to get it as fast as they can.
Sure.
You stay with it till the music stops.
Yeah, sounds great. We're going to hit the list here now, and then we'll switch over. Starting out with INO, it's a pharmaceutical, Inovio, and it's obviously, like many pharma, had a nice little run here. What are you thinking from here on out?
You know, all these little bio firms and these bio names are very, very tough to trade. We've talked about this a lot in the past. You really need to understand what's going on with them, what the news is. You know, is their data coming? Are they expecting drug approvals that are already priced in? Very rarely do earnings move these names, right? It seems to always be about drug data. From a technical perspective, Jim, it looks really kind of great, right? It has a very nice series of higher lows. You can see here that it's been, you know, working off these higher lows here all the way up. It's above all the moving averages for me. Here's your 200-day, 100-day, 50-day, and it's above the 8 and the 21-day. And it's got a nice setup with a kind of a little trouble spot up here around the 1650. So for me, I would stay long it versus the 50-day, 1194 right now. And then if it can't break through 1652, I take profits.
Yeah, it seems like the volume is drying up a little bit on it. I don't know if that means anything, but you know, it seems like it might have lost a little volume lately at the bottom there. Or?
Yeah, well, I mean, look at the volume now compared to back in December where it had absolutely no volume.
Yeah.
So obviously there's some news that has this name in play. It's just coming in a little bit. Again, I don't, you know, for you and me, people to be able to track it, this is where if you want to invest in something like this, you need to understand what the news was that got it going and whether it's still valid.
With this kind of volatility, you know, if it was optionable, you could probably do a married put maybe and go to sleep at night because, you know, obviously the risk on these things is that they open up at night. You know?
Or you sell calls against them.
Yeah,
it is an optionable name. If you look at the, it's very liquid, right? Even the weekly calls, 13,000 of the weekly 14s traded today versus open interest of 6,000. It's just definitely a pretty liquid name, especially if you go with the monthly options and get out of the weeklies.
Yeah, because I was just looking at a July 2nd one, which obviously is a fairly short-term option, but it's, you know, it looks like a couple of bucks maybe or so, you know, to hedge it a little bit. And if it's the kind of stock that's going to go to 20 or 21, you know, you could afford a little insurance premium, right?
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, the next one we have is a company that just exploded with the COVID virus, and that's Zoom. And obviously, they've got tremendous amount of subscribers now. And so obviously, that's the reason it just keeps going. But is there a point in time where the valuation makes no sense?
Oh, I think we passed that point a long time ago. But then again, why are we going to bother talking fundamentals and valuation in this market? Because it hasn't cared about it forever.
Right.
For me, I did chart on this on Sunday, and I said, it looks strong to me, like it wanted to go higher. Mm-hmm. It's riding the 8-day moving average right now. It's very strong since earnings. Yeah, it's all-time highs here again today. But, you know, what started popping up again this week and last week? And that's the coronavirus headlines. And, you know, whether it's real or not, the media is hyping this. They're calling it the second wave, but I don't really know if the first wave has ended. It just seems to be getting traction in places where it hasn't in this country. You have China now showing signs of a infection in Beijing that they have problems. So they're piling back into this stay-at-home trade in case things get shut down again. For me, this is just it's a risky trade. I used to trade this thing with stock all the time through here. Now the only way I'll trade it was options because it's too dangerous up here.
It seems to be shaking off any possibility that the competition from Google, Microsoft, et cetera, is going to infringe on the company. They seem like they're not recognizing competition at all. Maybe because they feel like the buzz name is Zoom. Everyone's used to Zoom, so they're not going to switch over to Team or something else.
Well, I mean, you've already had a ton of competitors, right? Microsoft's been out there forever with their Skype product and their works, right? You have WebEx. Now you have Google and Microsoft and Amazon all getting into the same space. Facebook getting into the space. But the truth is they seem to have it. And, you know, we're using this platform right now. And I got to tell you, I love their platform. I think their platform is just probably one of the best out there. It's thinner than most, very crisp, clear, very light on the usage on the computer. I think it's a fabulous product. I don't know, though, that, you know, how much more they can grow this than they have here. I mean, that's, you know, they're going to have to take market share from these big companies.
It reminds me of Google and other search engines. There's other search engines, but people tend to use Google 90% of the time, right?
That's exactly it. And I think you brought up a great point. It's the name, Zoom. But it's really become the focus point, right? And whenever we see the headline start up again, this one is the one they always come running back to.
Yeah. Yeah. When you get the brand going, you know, Apple versus Samsung or whatever, you know, and the millennials and guys like that all want to use it, it becomes the thing to have, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But that said, it's you know, to you, it's something you always talk about, which I learned from you, is the, you know, the 200 days all the way down at 105.53.
Oh, yeah.
It's in ludicrous space here.
Now, I wouldn't touch this one with a 10-foot pole, but God bless everybody who is.
I'll day trade it.
Yeah. Or use the options and at least you know what you're going to get hung by if you get hung.
Yep.
Okay. We're at Boeing here and you were saying off air that this was something you played today. So give us a background on what went on.
Oh, so last night with about 20 minutes to go into the close or half an hour, I bought a couple of the weekly 225 calls at about $1.80 and it dipped into the close and they were a little red, but I really liked the way Boeing was trading yesterday. It had big volume into it. You look at the volume here, it's been very elevated, right? Took back the 8-day close just off the lows and it had this gap here to fill. You see this gap that started really basically right here at 192 area. And you know what? It had room, I thought, to go all the way up to 202. And so I bought some calls last night, held them overnight. And this morning, obviously gapped up. It went all the way to 210 pre-market before it pulled in. And I got out in the close right away. I just put a sell order in at 4. Some of the people in my service got out at 450, which good for them. I wasn't taking any chances. I just put an order in at 4.
And you went market or whatever, yeah.
I didn't do market. I put an order in because I knew it was going to be wide. And you know, sometimes you look at it and you say, oh, that was stupid. But today was the right thing to do because look at that opening candle. And then it was just down all day from there. And nothing wrong with Boeing here. But I just think, you know, it had that big move. It got the move it wanted out of it. Sold off. It refilled its gap up. But now it's holding the 100-day. And that, you see the blue line here. The 100-day is now coming support. The longer it can hold above here and let the 8 and the 21-day catch up and the 50-day is curling up, I think the more this thing can get some traction. From a fundamental standpoint, Jim, I still have a problem with this name is that their cancellations are big time outpacing their new orders.
Right.
So I don't know how much they can traction they get if air travel doesn't really come back and nobody's buying planes.
Yeah, this is a classic one where a valuation guy like Buffett would have no idea what to price the thing at because there's no hard numbers to work with to really come up with a valuation. So this is a classic one where it just works off news and people's feelings on what they think is cheap, what they don't think is cheap. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know, looking at this long term, if it gets back up to 230 area, right? You see, you have another gap to fill up here to 251. Yeah. So you know, if it starts to push up, I would play for that gap fill. Then here's your 200 day all the way up here. It's got room to run.
Yeah, people were saying 275 would be the end of their line possibly on this rally.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, here's your 200 day right there, and that kind of just lines up perfectly, right?
Yeah, but again, it's you know, any day it gets different news, it could go the other way. But at least, you know, like I say, you have some lines in the sand. Looks like that one moving average is at 175. That's not so bad. And then basically, you know, keep a trailing stop and see how far they'll run it, right?
Yeah, and like you said, it's a news magnet. You know, this name used to be one of the quietest names out there. Now it's a news event after news event after news event.
The good thing about it is they have a lot of defense business, and with Powell printing money like the Bergen Record or whatever paper you want to call, you know, these guys could just come up with orders out of the blue, and the Fed could financing it through one of the 19 programs they're running, and so that might be the bailout deal there.
Well, I mean, you know, the Fed announced they're buying what, $3 trillion of corporate bonds,
right?
How many? So do you think that's from Boeing?
$1 trillion of planes, right? Yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's switch to oil. I heard today the Saudi delivery of oils to us is at a 35-year low, and the cheating is really at a bare bones minimum. So people are pretty constructive on the supply demand dynamic with energy now. CVX, how do you feel about this?
So in the energy space, this is my favorite name right now. Mm-hmm. The reason it's my favorite name is they've been consistently stronger than the rest of the space, even before we had the sell off. You have this big V bounce that outperformed the rest of the space. They have not lowered their dividend. Their dividend is still yielding, believe it or not, almost 9%. So,
and they said they're going to defend it.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody said there's no way they're going to hold it. They said, no, they're keeping it. Yeah. So, I mean, you're getting paid to sit in this thing and wait for it. That's not a bad deal.
Yeah.
We have an OPEC meeting on Thursday, I think. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to have a meeting. There's word out that Saudi Arabia is tired of the cuts and they've had enough of it. I don't know. You know, when I look at OPEC and OPEC Plus, they're all drama queens in my book. You know, it's nonstop back and forth to the last minute. And then finally something gets done at the 28th hour, right? Not even the 24th. It's always like we have to extend it.
Right.
But when I look at this chart, I like this name. This was in one of my names I thought could outperform this year. Obviously, I did not see the coronavirus coming and what happened. But at this point, it's recovered. It's now holding the 50-day support, which is really good for it. You have a nice little gap to fill now up from last week here if it wants to this 97.70 area. So that's the one thing I'd keep my eyes on. If it can get back in there, I would take that for long. And then the 200 days now resistance. So for this name to go, it's going to have to break above this 102 area. And you can see how it came up to it and that, you know, sold off right off of there. Mm-hmm. So you have resistance at 102. You have support down on the 50-day around the 89 area. And, you know, you get a move down to 89 and hold, you buy it there.
Yeah. And as I go by the gas stations, they're a heck of a lot more crowded than they were 60 days ago. So the does look like, you know, the demand should pick up quite a bit.
Well, I could tell you here in Jersey, Jim, is that, you know, we're still mostly locked down, but right. I've noticed a very big increase in traffic over the last couple of weeks when I'm out and about.
Right, right.
You know, for the first time, I'm actually seeing small little, you know, nothing like you would normally see at 5 o'clock, but a little bit more congestion, right? Where it's not, everybody's not doing 70 miles an hour in the same spot they would normally be going bumper to bumper traffic.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking L-shaped supply, V-shaped demand would be good, but I thought the 40 mark on the crude would be an area where it might slow down, and it has. So, that's a little bit of a wild card if the crude can hold these levels up here.
You know, and I think that's the big question is what can crude do? And, you know, I keep every morning with my members, we go over crude and we take a look at it. And, you know, crude has just been stuck here, right? You had this nice rally up. Then we got into here when we got the news that the OPEC was going to extend the cuts another month. It sold off.
Right.
It didn't like that news. Now it's rallying here back into OPEC again. And to me, it's just not acting special, Jim. And when you look for something, when I want to be in something, I want to act special. And the energy space hasn't been acting special all year. You've had a move into cleaner fuels that's been ongoing during this. But, you know, eventually it could wake up. I'm just a little bit more careful when it comes to it.
Well, let's switch gears here and jump onto things that you're kind of looking at and focusing on. And then we'll come back to the list.
Okay. So there's a couple names right now that have my attention, and I went home pretty much flat here today. But, you know, Roku here today, and I missed my entrance on it. I didn't want to chase it, but look at the size of this candle here today on huge volume. And when you look at the volume on the daily chart, it's running around 150% of normal. Big volume move. Now, what's going on here is it started on Monday. There was a rumor that Google was going to buy them, and we all laughed at that. And then today, there's been a couple attempts to pump vague chatter on Twitter and social media, and it caught traction. And what happened is it broke above this 115 area, and that was the killer. The 115 area, that's where the 50 days been sitting. It's been banging its head into it, and it couldn't get through. And now it's pushed all the way up to 120. It kind of has room to me to the 123 area, so I want to keep an eye on it. When you talk about call flow, it was just off the charts today. Anywhere from weekly 115s through 120s all the way up to the July 240s looking for that buyout. And if you were trading Roku and you were saying, well, how did I get in it today? Well, if you missed the opening salvo on a 5-minute chart, I had this line drawn. This line's been drawn there forever. And when it took that out, that was your entrance. You see how it banged against this for all day long? And,
oh, yeah.
Right? So it banged against that all day long, took that out, and then here's your pop up here to highs. So, and this is a name we call like a honey badger stock, Jim. Did it care today that the markets were selling off? No, didn't budge. So nice, strong move. I would keep an eye on this name for some follow through and then see. I don't really believe the rumors, but name woke up on volume. If it pops, gets through 123, then you look for a move maybe up to 140.
Yeah, this thing seems to be a Geiger counter around this 100 number, huh?
Yeah. You know, it had this gap to fill down here forever, and I've been wanting to play with that gap fill, but you notice it goes into it intraday and then tails right out of it every time. So, you know, this gap from 102 down here, it hasn't been able to fill it. That's a sign of strength. Even though the stock's been looking weak, not trading well, it cannot break into that gap, right? And if the stock was weak, what would happen? It would fill that void.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so there's obviously been some people buying this into here. It's just run a ton. I mean, this name had a huge, huge move. It's just resting here.
Yeah, and it looks like, you know, it has a little bit of a base there, 101, 105, and it looks like it blew out the 114. And so, you know, if you're short or a momentum player, it's got to be on your list, right?
Yep. Another name I truly love here right now is Square. I've traded into that. I even made a trade on this today. And what's going on with Square is you've had this beautiful V bounce off the bottom. It looked great going into when the coronavirus struck. It was getting ready to break out of this range. And then it tried to hold in through the beginning, the first couple of days. And eventually, like everything else, it capitulated.
Right.
And it's just had this very nice buying. You know, PayPal's been strong. MasterCard's been strong. Visa's been strong. That payment space is very strong. It gave a quick dip. Look how it held the 21 day last week. And now here's your big gap and go, taking out this 92 area and strong. And when you look at Square, and if you switch this over to a weekly chart, you know, to me, this name here is just starting to get going. I think it wants to go back to all-time highs. And so I traded a little bit today, didn't make a lot on today, did a quick trade, but you can see this weekly pattern here, this big move up to, oops, let's get off of that. There we go. Here's your big move up to 101. Remember that from all the way down here in the 20s, this ramp came down. Look how nicely consolidated. In fact, it was really looking like it was ready to go back in February before everything broke loose. And now here it is finally taking that back. I think this one has a date with all-time highs and then higher over 101.15.
Yeah, the consumer finance, is that what it's considered, do you think? Consumer finance?
Well, it's that. They're also very much in the small business. If you go into a restaurant, most people own restaurants, use Square to process their payments. A lot of small shops. They're very, very big into the small businesses. They're also doing something that the other guys aren't doing, is they're taking cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, as payment.
Okay.
So they're very, very progressive in that.
Yeah, oh yeah. And again, when it dropped, a lot of people were thinking that all the small businesses would have no money and they'd renege on everything, and the smaller consumer would. And with all the PPP and everything else and the 600 extra bucks, obviously they took that risk off the table.
Yeah, I mean, it just keeps coming back. And, you know, this market's been relentless, right? You know, everybody talks about this market's absolutely relentless at this point. It keeps trapping the shorts. Everybody tries to short this market, it keeps trapping them. And, you know, you got to stick with the trend until it breaks. At some point it will, but not here. Mm-hmm. So I like that name as well a lot. These are two of my favorite names. Are we going to talk about Apple? I know everybody talked about Roku by accident. The other one I really like, Jim, is Apple. And I know Apple is a big name, but I mean, look at this bounce. Mm-hmm. And here it is today. On a day when the market was weak, it closed $2 off of all-time highs, holding the 8-day. And, you know, I'm a big fan of following the trend of the 8-day. And if you see the gold line here, how it's been above it, had a quick dip to the 21-day, took it back the next day, the 8-day, rode it all the way up here, held it here, even though it was sloppy, holding it. Notice how it hasn't broken and closed below the 8-day since all the way back here on April 21st. That's incredible strength.
So your feeling on the 8-day is that it gives enough room for the market to bounce around, but it also keeps the leash very tight so that if it starts to break, you know, your risk can be kind of tight.
Yep. Or if you want to get into it, wait till it touch it. And if it's holding up, when it touches it, it gets back above it, right? If, like the other day when it breached it and took it back, take it back at the 8-day, right? Try it there.
Yeah.
You know, it shows strength. It shows momentum. To me, the 8-day is a momentum of moving average.
Right.
When names keep riding and holding it, it's showing incredible amount of momentum into it. That means that the funds are buying it. They're not letting it go.
So the tighter moving average gives you more of a momentum vibe because the longer term ones aren't going to react as much to it.
Exactly.
I got you. And if you're doing short term trading, you want to have something that's worthwhile, but also not too much rope.
Well, I mean, even look at this, Jim. When the SPY last week, when we got that big sell-off on Thursday and Friday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and we blew through the 8-day, right? We gapped down under it.
Right.
Apple didn't even break it.
Right.
Right. So right away, your first thing when you look at Apple, you say, well, it's showing me a lot of relative strength versus the indexes.
And this is also a classic case of when you're looking at the 8-day, sure, you got violated there and maybe you get out, but as soon as it gets back above it, you know, you're trading. So it's not illegal to come right back into it, even if it's at a higher price than you sold out of, because you're getting back on it because the horse is starting to run again.
That's exactly it. You know, stops are there for a reason. They're to keep us from getting, you know, trading. We always talk to people about trading. Trading is about keeping your losses small and not letting them become big. The big losses are harder to make back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Paper cuts are easy to make back. So stops and getting out is about, okay, I don't know what's going on here. If there's something going on, I'm worried. It's breaching this area. I'm out. I take the emotion out of it. Save me. Take me out. Don't make me make an emotional decision.
And this is the kind of stuff, plus a lot more, that people can get a hold of you and talk to you about at the end of the broadcast.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We preach this stuff.
It's very helpful. This is very, very helpful, especially if you're short-term trading. Because, you know, when you're short-term trading, if you use stuff that's too tight, you're going to get stopped out every 5 minutes, and that's not going to work. If you do stuff that's too, too loose, it's going to give you too much room on your losses. So, you know, this 8-day, you've come to the conclusion, is a pretty effective way for short-term traders to, you know, be in on a trend, but not get choked if something changes.
Yeah, and you also look at how extended you are off of it. So, you know, on this day back here, on the 10th, you see how far we've gotten off the 8-day instead of the Bollinger Band?
Right.
That's not a place to be starting a new long.
Right.
You know, that's right. A place to be taking profits, maybe leaving a runner on just in case this thing decides it doesn't care, right? Which we all know sometimes stocks do that. But, you know, I'd be out of most of my stock here, my profits here. And then here was your time to start looking at it again when it came into the 8-day and started holding it. That was your time to say, okay, I want to be in it. Yesterday for sure was the day you want to be in it. And now you get your follow through.
Yeah. No, I think this is excellent. And like I say, when a market is going someplace and when you're short-term trading, those are the ones you want to be playing. It'll hold that 8-day for quite a while and you can catch a pretty good run in it.
Yeah, you can. And it also gives you just something. You're not trading in a void, Jim, right? And the only thing I always try to tell people is, you know, when you have something that's in a void and it doesn't have anything, you know, you don't want to be just trading it on a candle.
Yeah.
You're looking for something to say, I want to trade against this spot if I can find it.
It's like your security blanket.
Yeah. Well, it gives you something to trade against. Say, okay, this is a level. This I know should hold. If this move is real, it should hold this.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I tell you what, we're going to flip back to the list here and we're going to start back up on Shopify, but you're going to take it in from here, Mike, and thank everybody for being here, and Mike will take it in from here.
Jim, thanks. Have a good one and catch you soon.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, guys. So Shop's been an incredible name, and you know, you could take this all the way back to a little over a year and a half ago when Citron was short saying it's going back under 100 or I'm paying $100,000 out to a charity. Well, he long ago capitulated and paid that $100,000 out. It's had this big, big move. This is the Canadian Amazon, which has been strong, came up, came back in with the markets, and then this big, big move all the way up here to a new all-time high at 840s after earnings. And then you got this big down candle now, and it's kind of been coming in here and trying to figure things out. It's very extended on the long term. It's had this huge, huge move, but it really just doesn't seem to care. And, you know, yesterday we were sitting here on the 21 day, and the one thing that caught my attention on this on Friday was when the markets were weak as anything on Friday and selling off, Shopify closed with a hammer candle. That was interesting. I don't trade Shopify very often because I don't trade it well. But you got that, then so if somebody knew, and then Monday morning, the news, they did a partnership with Walmart, and look at this massive gap up on Monday. They gapped all the way up some 25, 30 bucks, and then you get this move back up, and today you had a little bit of a push and just kind of a doji candle here. Overall, Shop looks good. Here's your 8-day coming up. If you can get a connection with that, that'd be a better place to enter if you could. But really, if it holds above 781 here, this little pivot area where it's created with all these candles, you can see this on the chart. I put my line there. This is a great area to watch it and see if it holds. I think holding there shows strength. And if it holds that, then I think it comes up and says, let me test 840 and maybe I can run to a new all-time high. So again, it's not an easy name to buy up here and own. The one thing I don't like about Shopify is the options are extremely expensive and they tend to be a little bit illiquid. And what I mean by that, and let me pull them up for you, is you can see there's not a tremendous amount of volume traded on the call side or the put side today. The spreads tend to be wide. And the reason also is this is the IV tends to be very high on Shopify. You can see here where, you know, the at-the-money calls are trading at 54% for a under $800 stock, whereas in Amazon, believe it or not, look at this, you know, $2,600 stock, the IV is only 23%. So that's why you see like the Shop is very tough. And the reason the IV is so high because it's so whippy, the market makers like to have that to use their advantage and make you pay more for options because it's just tougher. So I prefer to trade Amazon with options than Shop, although if you trade it well. But to me, this name has been a great name and it looks like it just wants to keep on going. If the markets hold up, I suspect this one takes out its all-time high. It doesn't care that it's extended. It doesn't care when it gets hot. Notice RSI on this name gets hot all the time and it stays there. It's not a name that sells off. Target. So big box retailers were all in vogue as we came into this year, whether it was Costco, Walmart. I mean, the massive move in Home Depot and Lowe's was fabulous. And Target had a little bit of a struggle, but came roaring back. You know, this gap down here was after their Christmas sales, specifically toy sales were really bad. You can see that popped in here and came down with the markets. And then it's had this nice, nice move back up here where it's reclaimed all the moving averages and holding in pretty well here, trading around this 120 area, but not quite ready yet to release. All the retailers have been getting pummeled a little bit here. You know, Costco, Walmart, all gotten a little beat up, even Home Depot the last couple of days. They seem to be a little bit more out of favor right now, but I like Target. I think they're still doing things well. They are making changes. They're constantly reinvesting in their company, changing how things work, finding what works and making changes in their stores. And I think that's good for them. And I think for really right here, it kind of needs to take out this 121 area to going. You have this little downtrend here. You can kind of see it drawn in right here. And it needs to take that out to get the pop on it. And you kind of just have to wait for it. It's a very liquid name. It trades well. It has a decent amount of volume on a daily basis, almost 10 million shares. The options are very liquid. So I like that about it. Not too far off is 200-day. So if the market's strong, I think then they come back in. This is a name you want to look at. And you want to watch if they come into names like this. And what I do is I watch the sector. So like Target, I'll watch Walmart. So if Walmart's in play on a day, I'll keep an eye on Target or Costco, right? So I keep looking at these and then I'll take a look at there. You know, we talked about Home Depot, another one, you know, came in hard the last couple of days. Now a nice bounce back. This name has been very, very, very strong. So for me, I think Home Depot is a better name. It's been stronger seasonally, but Target here certainly looks good. It's a name I've been keeping an eye on, but just haven't taken a trade on it yet because it's just saying it's not ready. What do we got next? ELD, gold. Guys, gold is going to be one of the most frustrating trades out there right now. This thing has been stuck in this range now for the last couple of months. You can see very, very clearly you're trading in a range of roughly 165 and the lows down here around 158. And you got this very big flag here. You have your pennant, right? Your flag, it's going sideways. With everything going on the last week and a half, I would have thought they would have come screaming back for gold, but they haven't. So for me, right now, it's a continued buy as long as it holds 158. That's where I would try it off if it got there or put my stop against there. And it has to take out 165 to get going. And right now, it really is just stuck here. It can't break out. And, you know, what I also do is I look at the miners and, how are they doing? Are they participating or not? And, you know, you can see the miners are not. In fact, they're weaker than gold. They continue to trend downwards. And you look at silver to see what's going on there, and it's not getting anything. So really right now, we're just kind of stuck in this race where it's not ready to go. They're not selling it off. They're not buying it. And gold likes to do this. Gold will do this, and then it'll get in vogue for a couple of days like it did back here. And you'll get this three-day move, and that's it. Gold very rarely moves for long periods of time. It usually pops and then comes back in. And, you know, the one thing I've learned about gold over the years is it likes to pop, get people to chase, and it comes back and it sells some more. I'm not a gold guy. I do own some, but I don't have a ton of it here. So we'll see how this goes. But yeah, gold for me is not the trade I'd be taking here right now. I'd wait for it to break out. TDOC, one of the stay-at-home plays. We've had a tremendous amount of talk on this one. It had a nice little downtrend here that it broke out last week. You can see it came in through here. It went out, broke above it, came in, retested the 8 and the 21-day and the 50-day, and is slowly starting to push back up here into the 189 area. This is a pure, we're not going to reopen trade or things are not so good. And I'm a little hesitant to trade this. I haven't traded it very much. This is, to be perfectly honest, this is one of the few names that give me a big hit this year. When I tried trading it with 1,000 shares and took a big loss on it, only to watch it go up a half an hour later and scream up $20. This name is just does not trade very well from a common, doesn't have very liquid options. It's an investment you like, you try it. But again, remember from September last year, this thing was trading down here at 55. It's now up at 188. You know, if the coronavirus continues to get in bad headline after bad headline, there's a very, very good chance that this one will eventually try to take off again. So for me, I would trade it with options. They're not the best, they're not the most liquid, maybe way out of the money and say, okay, it's trading at 188. Maybe I get the 205s on this. Let's take a look. Maybe even higher. Let's see what kind of liquidity you have here. So if you really like this, I would go out into July and maybe try like the two, maybe like try like the 220s or the two, God, so not liquid. I would try the 220s, the 210s or the 200s, only because they're liquid. Everything else is not very liquid. And maybe you trade could try and take it small. The nice thing about TDOC is when it moves, this thing moves big. You can see even the other day it went from 175 to 189, $15. So out of the money options can really, really pay on this. I just feel it's run a ton and you have to be very, very, very careful with it. What else we have on here's list, guys? Lost my list. There it is. Nope, that's not it.
TDOC is the next one.
We just did that. It's Verizon. Oh, thanks,
sorry.
David.
Verizon, yeah.
Yep, no problem. I accidentally lost my list for a second. All right, Verizon, not a fan of this industry. I know 5G is coming, and I know there's a tremendous amount of people think that 5G is going to be a big, big, great thing for the telecom companies. But honestly, this name's not trading like it is. It can't get going. It pays a nice dividend, but this name just can't break out. It trades sloppy. It's been trading in a tight range between 54 and up here around the 50 to 58 area, maybe you can call it 58.50. And it can't reclaim its former highs. It's not leading the markets. Right now, for me, guys, I want to trade names that are leading. You know, I want names that are stronger, that they're outperforming the markets. For me, that area has been in the technology. It's been the semis. It's been the cloud computing. It's been in names like Apple, Microsoft, you know, Zoom. But, you know, payment space with all the with Visa, MasterCard, PayPal, Square. Name like Verizon, to me, you're getting paid a nice dividend to sit in it. How quick is 5G going to roll out be with everything going on? I tend to think that's going to be a lot more delayed than we thought. And honestly, from everything I've learned about about 5G. I think it's great for business, but for home users, I don't think it's going to be all that huge. It's not going to really change our lives all that much. So I prefer to trade other names in this. But if you like it, you know, you take it off of here. If it can get above the 200-day, maybe try it. You know, that's kind of stuck there under it. I'm not a big fan of trading, taking names long-term under the 200-day unless there's something going on. TLT. Bonds, guys, I don't know. You know, bonds got a little of a pop last week off of the weakness. Couldn't hold it. Look at it come right back down in here. And, you know, you look at bonds and there's just no catalyst here. There's no reason to be in bonds. There's no money there in here. There's no dividend. There's no interest there. There's nothing going on in bonds to be in for me. It's a safety play. The only time we see bonds pop lately is when they're worried. They're worried about the markets. And even then, we're not getting the big pops we used to get. And so for me, not an area I want to be in. But if you like TLT, it kind of has support here on the 100-day around this 158, but really not acting particularly well. You know, it's a gappy product. It doesn't trade very well. You have a downtrend in here clearly established all the way down through here, and you can see it came right up into it. And let's just put that line in there since we have a little bit of time here. You can see here you have this line, this trend line. It has to break above that to get going, and it's just not there. And if the markets are strong, I think bonds are just going to be out of play. And, you know, I want to say this, don't fight the Fed. And so many people have been out there trying to fight the Fed. The Fed has this market's back. The market may not like when Jerome Powell speaks, and God knows I wish he wouldn't talk so much, but the Fed has done everything to keep this market afloat and is not letting it go. You know, $3 trillion of corporate junk bonds being bought. I mean, they're basically saying, we got your debt, we got this market, we'll continue doing our QE until we don't think it's necessary. And you just kind of have to stick with that and believe in that until it breaks. Something I know that we didn't talk about yet, but as of last week, there was over $5 trillion in cash sitting on the sidelines. This market is looking for a dip to buy. They kind of got it this week. I don't think they bought in quick enough. And I think there's a lot of funds sitting there going today, damn it, we really thought we can get this market down more, and we couldn't do it. And there's just a tremendous amount of fear of FOMO out there, fear of missing out by the dip. You can talk about whatever you want. It's the Fed buying stuff. It's the new breed of Robinhood traders who are coming in. They buy stuff on weakness every day. But there's a tremendous amount of this going on. And, you know, until that gets a big hit, I don't think this market's going anywhere. And right now, this market's really strong. And in a strong market, bonds are generally not placed to be. Grab a drink. All right. RVLV, Revolve Group. Boy, this name comes up and down every once in a while. I don't know a lot about this name, but I do know every once in a while it comes into play. And when it's in play, it can move. You got this nice move off the lows from back here in March from the 7 area all the way up. And this is, I think, a reopen play with restaurants, if I remember right. And came up into this area, and it could not hold the 200-day and back below it, but was able to hold the 21-day, which is a good sign for it. You know, these are the type of names that are tough here. Let me just make sure I have my information right before I keep going here. RVLV. Retailer, consumers, fashion, right. Women's attire. Okay, sorry, not restaurants, women's attire. So again, if you think that the malls are going to reopen and that people are going to be coming back and shopping is going to be good, then this is probably not a bad place to be. My one worry would be on companies like this is what I always like to look at when I'm buying a company that's been beaten up for a good reason, is look at their cash to debt ratio and their balance sheet. They have $103 million in cash, and their debt, they have $30 million. That's really, really not bad. That's actually really pretty damn impressive considering that. I'm sure they're not paying their bills right now when it comes to real estate. That's a pretty good sign. That's something nice to look into. So if you like the name and you like the space, this is probably not a bad name to own. It takes out the 200-day here. I think it runs up, and then you have your next area of resistance up here around 21. And then you start to see, and this is how, you know, the only thing I would caution you against is this has not been a strong name coming into the virus, and retailers have been bad all over the place. So, you know, I don't know enough about them and what they're doing on a fundamental level, but I do know that most retailers are really in trouble. We're seeing a drastic change in the way people buy clothes in America, and retail is not the place to be. So if I'm going to be in retailers, for me, I'd rather be in the big box guys, and that would be Costco, Target, Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's, and I'll even throw Ulta into that mix. Ulta in the cosmetic space for women tends to be really strong, or I'd rather buy a name like Lulu or Nike. And again, when you look what's going on with those names, they've just been so much stronger than this. You want to be in that space, buy the manufacturer. Look at Lulu. Look at this move up here. Earnings weren't great. They bought the weakness on earnings back. They didn't care. Nike, you know, another name trading fairly well, nice and strong up here, just back almost to its all-time highs. You know, these are things to look at instead. I think I like these better than any of the small retailers here right now. Buy the manufacturers because they sell them online and through so many outlets. They're a safer bet. TTD, Trade Desk. This name has had a monstrous move. So these guys are in the advertising space. Amazon's one of their big customers. You have this big, big move. And what I loved about this, if you look at this chart, you have a W formation on the bottom. It came down, you put this low in just right around 140, made a midpoint, came down, put a higher low, creating a very W formation here. And then you took out that midpoint. And since then, it's been off to the races. Here's your earnings day. Great earnings, rocks higher, pulls back to the 8-day. And I'm a big fan of always talking about that. When stock holds the 8-day, it's a trend. Look at this. Even though it went below it, it never closed below it, held it, and put in a new all-time high here today on the gap up. Great little name. Not the most liquid of names, but very, very strong. Nice move here. A lot of people think this one's going a lot higher as they're really starting to take over that space. Not extended, not really too hot. So any dip to the 8-day, I think you buy on this. If you like the space, kind of in the same space as Roku, this name has been very, very strong, and I constantly would keep an eye on this one as well. Microsoft, my nemesis lately. So Microsoft has been one of my favorite stocks. I traded a ton last year, and even I was trading it a lot up until a couple weeks ago when Microsoft came up and stalled. So what really started to worry me a little bit about Microsoft in here was it got almost back to this all-time high up here of 190 on this big V bounce. It led the markets higher. And it, for me, you know, cloud software, that's the place to be. That's where the market wanted to put its money to work in this kind of economy, in this environment, because they were going to be largely unaffected by the coronavirus. And it got up into this area, and it got up into this 185 area, and it just created this wall. And you got these choppy trades where it would pop and then pull right back down. And this name wasn't holding the 8-day. This name was holding the 21-day. So the buys were off the 21-day on this one. 85 was resistance until all of a sudden last week, it suddenly woke up, took it out, and you got this explosive move, which I hate to say it, I trade this all the time, did not participate in. And you got this big, big move up here and put a new all-time high up here of a little over 198. And then you got this wicked gap down and pull, right? Nasty, nasty action on that, but came back and did the same thing again. That is, it held the 21-day. That's been the trend. Bounced off the 21-day yesterday, popped up. Here's your gap up and right back into it. What was interesting about Microsoft today, this morning, it was trading very, very well. And this was a tale of two tapes for this one today. So when you look at Microsoft today on the 5-minute chart, you can see, you know, here's your previous day's close, right? Your gap up, and then it had the strength. And while the markets weren't sure, look at Microsoft leading here. This powerful trend up into this candle. And then it just lost its momentum. When the market started to regain its footing, for some reason, they didn't come back in here. And the volume tells it. Guys, if you're trading and you're trying to learn anything from me today, for me, volume tells you everything. You can see here, the volume was very, very elevated on this through the first 90 minutes of the day. And then it never really came back. Through the all day, this thing kind of just chopped around, played on and off VWAP and had nowhere to go. So when I look at a name like Microsoft, I like when it leads. And today, it kind of just couldn't do it. It got out of the Bollinger Band, and maybe that's why it came in as well. Again, if I can get a dip to the 8-day, maybe I'll try it. 21-day obviously is the buys until that breaks. This has been one of the names. This has been one of the chosen names in the space. It's been one of the stronger ones out there. It basically, for me, you know, it ticks all the checklists on here. This is what I'm looking for. You know, these type of names are the ones they want to be in. So I would keep an eye on this, on any weakness. If we manage to get another sell-off tomorrow with Powell or news, this is one of the first names I'd look to come back to. It's just the right space and where I want to be. Last one, David. AMD. So, love AMD. I've had some wonderful trades on this over the last couple years, including another one last week. What's frustrating about AMD here? Well, AMD got 27 cents from an all-time high last week and couldn't do it. And you got this big type of, you know, shooting star candle. So you got a beautiful two-day move on volume. Here's that first day. You look at the volume that came into it. Big volume. Pop up. Gap up. Shooting star up to 59. The all-time high was 59.27. And then you got this big wick. And then the next day, it gaps down and sells off. Tough, very, very tough to be in it when a name does something like that. But what we do know is this name has been trading sideways, consolidating this move for a while now. It's had this big move up over the last couple of years. It loves the 50-day, and that's why I always go in and look at moving averages and how they react. And every name reacts very differently to different moving averages. This one loves the 50-day. Why does it love it? Well, when it's above it, it's support, and when it's below it, it's resistance. So it came into here, purple line failed, came into it here, purple line failed, came into here, took it this time, retested. Tested it, held, popped up, didn't quite hit it this time, popped up, held the 50-day, holding the 50-day, holding the 50-day, holding the 50-day. And even though it's, you know, intraday it goes below it, it's holding it into the close. So right now for me, anytime this name comes down and takes back the 50-day, it's a buy. I do think it wants to go to all-time highs. Semis were just out of play today. NVIDIA has been the leader right now. This one has been leading at times. On a personal level, I love what this company's doing. They're beating Intel in the chips, in the computer, you know, in the PC computing space. Their chips are the best. In fact, I now have a brand new Alienware computer that I'm trading on here with the Ryzen 3900 in it with 12 cores. It's things incredibly fast. They're taking on NVIDIA in the graphics space. They're making big inroads into the data centers and into that space with Google and other people. So they're really making some great forward moves here. So I like this one. You just got to wait for it. And it's just struggling to get out. It can't hold a breakout yet. So you're going to have to wait. Maybe there's news. Last earnings were good. They weren't fabulous. They weren't bad, but you know they removed guidance, and I think that was a cause concern. So overall, I like this. In this space, Bo, NVIDIA has been the leader. So why don't we just touch on that? This one's been much stronger, put an all-time high in last week as well. Then the other names that have been kind of playing around, we've seen some action lately in Qualcomm. It's trying to wake up. It really still struggling to get above this 92 area. You want to play 5G instead of Qualcomm. Instead of Verizon, I'd play Qualcomm, because Qualcomm is going to provide a lot of those chips for 5G, specifically to Apple. LRCX, Lam Research, has been another stronger name. Look at this nice big gap and move up here today. You know, trying to get back close to its all-time highs. By the way, it has a gap to go in and finish filling here. We saw Avgo, another 5G play name moving. So we're seeing a lot of these starting to move. And then there's this little guy. You know, we were all in love with this X-Link a couple years ago, calling it the next NVIDIA. And then it had a series of just tremendously bad information. That information came, a lot of it from Huawei and being banned from selling to them, which was, I guess, evidently a tremendous amount of their business. If they start to remove some of those bans, this name can get back in play. I like the fact that it's retaken all the moving averages up here now, and it really just kind of has to kind of take out this 100 area, this 99 area to get going. So I'd keep an eye on the semis. They're just not in play right now. So any questions, David? Anybody have anything they'd like to go over?
I'm not seeing anything from the audience at the moment.
Anybody wants me to look at chart? We have a couple minutes.
Yeah, we have a few minutes left. Is there anything else you want to talk about that you're looking at for the week?
You know, honestly, for me, David, I've gone into tactical mode here with what's going on with the markets. And, you know, when we get action like we're getting here today, I get more, a little bit more defensive on things, and for good reason, right? The SPY here, when we looked at this, I've talked about this with my members all the time, is here is your low, and you create this nice gap up down here, and you never violated that low, that gap. That was the first day you trapped shorts. And here, everybody and their uncle was calling for a retest of the all-time, of the lows. And I thought, I wasn't so sure, I didn't think we would, but you had this gap down here. These candles are not real. Thinkorswim gives a lot of bad prints lately. And then what you did is you spent 3 days here making everybody think we were going to drop, and everybody was loading short, and you gapped up, and you trapped all the shorts. And since then, we've been steadily pushing up above these fib levels. First, we took the 50% retracement, which we have not violated since we've taken it. And then we took the 61.8% retracement, which is just below here, right at this 293 area. And then you pushed all the way through the 313 and just came within, you know, 3% or so of the all-time high up at 339 before we got the Powell gap down last Fed day. And that created an island top. And that's why I have this box here. So we gapped up here. We spent 4 days getting bears on bulls to chase. The markets were screaming hot. I was talking about this every day to my members, saying, be careful with longs up here. The market's overbought. It's extremely hot. We have a tremendous amount of FOMO. And then, you know, Powell talked, the market sold off. We closed on the lows and boom, gapped down, gapped under the 8-day, and here's your quick move down. And then for the last couple sessions here, we tried to break. We couldn't break. We closed strong on Friday. We gapped down yesterday, but they came screaming for the market right on the open, and you have this huge move up. And today, we almost, but not quite, invalidated this island top. And so we never quite got up and filled this gap. So that's what I'm watching for. For me, David, very, very simply right now, if this market invalidates this island on top and takes it back, I do believe we're going to all-time highs. I still think we're going there, and I'm not overly worried. If we cannot fill that and we sell off here again, we have to hold 293. We lose 293, I get very, very concerned about where this market may be going.
All right. Well, a lot of good information today. And
thank you.
I don't see any more questions from the audience. So if you want to tell everyone a little bit more about your sure. site and what you offer and how they can get in touch.
So you can come check me out at smartoptiontrading.com. And what I do is, guys, every day. I get up at 6. I trade real time. I have a run of chat room from 9 o'clock to 4 o'clock throughout the day where we post trades, option flow, news, events, anything out there that's going to affect the markets. When I'm not doing that, I'm posting everything I'm also posting everything on my private Twitter feed. Every morning you get a setup video talking about what I like for the market that morning, what I think. Every night we do a video that does a recap the day's action and what my look ahead is from that point. And then on Sundays I do charts and I do a video for my members talking about the week ahead and what's coming on and what's going on. And if you want to find out more, come in to my website. website, smartoptiontrading.com. Click on live trading alerts. And I run this all the time. It's $25 for the first 30 days. You can cancel anytime through PayPal. And then it's $100 a month. And I think it's just a fabulous deal. We have a nice community, lots of trade ideas every day, real-time trades, real wins, real losses. And you know, if you're interested, please come and check me out. And David, I'm going to turn it back to you. And thanks so much for having me on.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Just a quick reminder to everyone before we close, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network to get updates on future episodes. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to the recording of this show as soon as I can get it posted, as well as other recent events. Just want to thank my guests again for today, Mike Pisani of smartoptiontrading.com and Jim, the option professor at optionprofessor.com, was here earlier. So thanks, everyone.
Thanks, David.